come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Father, we gather together in your name, and we have come to bless you, O Lord, for you are worthy to be praised, you are worthy to be loved and adored. But God, we need your grace to open our eyes and to soften our hearts, to behold your beauty and to bow before it with thanksgiving. And so that is what we do now. We ask for your grace to teach us to worship in this hour. God, we also thank you that you seek to save those who are lost. Lord, we celebrate the baptism and the life change that you have brought to our sister Mina. We thank you that this family is her family forever. And God, we thank you that you are changing lives. You are alive and active and desire to change lives even here today. So come, release your spirit to minister. Release your spirit to prepare hearts to receive your word so that we will be changed by it. And Father, I surrender myself to you and ask that you'd fill me with your spirit, anoint me, empower me, and Holy Spirit, would you preach through me today so that all that I do would bring glory to the name of God, our Father, and exalt Jesus and draw people to him. So Father, use me as your mouthpiece today so that I might bring you glory and honor that is due your name. So at this time, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my mind and my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, since being in Korea for the past several years, I've realized that there are some interesting distinctives in Korean culture that seems almost as a huge irony in some sense. And in another way, it almost seems contradictory towards what we would expect. For example, you know, when it's hot outside, it is common in Korean culture to eat something that's also very hot in terms of temperature. And if it's cold outside, instead of eating something warm to warm up your body, it's also very common that people would eat something also very cold. Another ironic twist that I've found in this culture, for Korean men, no matter how hot it is outside, they can play soccer with long pants and dress shoes. I found that fascinating being a part of this Korean staff. That, yes, it was interesting. For Korean women, it's also amazing and ironic. You would not expect it. But for Korean women, the older they get, the stronger they become. They are fearless. Korean ajumas can do anything. They are without fear. It is fascinating. And the full-time pastors and I, we just came back from about 4-day retreat with almost 200 pastors of Onity Church this past week for the Onity Pastors Academy. And one of the things that we did during the activity was to go to a public bath. Now, Joel and I, we had the courage and we died to our pride and we partook in this. And so you might view us very differently now. I know I view him very differently now. But you know what was interesting is as we were just chilling in the hot tub, we were talking about, again, some of the ironies of Korean culture. And one of the other things that we discovered is, you know, this is such a shame-based culture. You know, it's very modest in a lot of sense, traditionally, this culture. And it's very, you know, shameful in some ways. But there is no shame when people go to a public bath. You know, they let it all out there, you know, it's no towel, you know, no small towel, nothing, you know, just, yeah. Anyway, where are we? Yes. Okay. But another, let's get those images out of our minds, shall we? Yes. But another special uniqueness that I found in Korean culture is how this culture views children. You know, on the one hand, traditionally at least in this culture, the older one gets, the more respectful that you would be towards these elderly people, traditionally. But we also see great honor towards children in Korean culture that I've really come to appreciate. I think it's beautiful that this country has Children's Day. Not all countries do. And I love this holiday within this country. And I love that children are celebrated and honored, and it is a public holiday. They don't have to go to school. People don't have to go to work. And it is about celebrating the gift that children are into our lives. I think that's a beautiful part of this culture. Also, another thing that's beautiful about this culture's view towards children is that when a baby is born, how old is that child in Korea? One. Why? It is because this culture values the time that the child is in the womb, from conception throughout the pregnancy until birth, that 9 months or so, they honor it. So much so that when the child is born, they say that the child is 1 year old. That is beautiful. That shows how they value life from conception in the womb, even at birth. I love this part of Korean culture because that is a reflection of kingdom culture. It is beautiful. It is God-honoring. And we need to continue to sacredly treasure it. Amen? You know, there is a special value. What it reveals is that there is a special value placed on children within God's kingdom. And for us as citizens of God's kingdom, we need to understand that proper perspective, the biblical perspective that we need to have towards children. And that's what we want to look at today. Why is it so important? What is the connection between children and the kingdom of God? That's what we will explore. So I want to encourage you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at verses 13 to 16 as our primary text for today. And we want to explore. So what is the connection between children and the kingdom of God? And how should we view this connection? So follow along with me also in your outlines. And we want to look at children and the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing that we will learn in this passage for today is that we need to behold the value of children. So everyone repeat, behold the value of children. All right, so kingdom compassion, which is our series that we've started a few weeks back, kingdom compassion is about seeing the value in the weak and the vulnerable, including children. That is what it means to have a kingdom compassion towards those in our community. Let's look at Mark chapter 10 from verses 13 and 14. And this is the word of the Lord. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God." Now, some people were bringing their children to Jesus so that he might touch them or to bless them, which was the custom of that day. So if there was a wise teacher in town, if there was a prominent, respectful person in town, it would be common for parents to bring their children so that this wise, respectable, prominent person might touch them and bless their child. But as these parents were bringing these children to Jesus, the disciples rebuke them. Say, "Hey, you can't, don't bother Jesus," right? He's an important person. He has important people to meet, not these little kids. Now, why did the disciples rebuke them? Why did they push away these children? Because like most people around the world, they did not think that children were very valuable. Like many people today, even in this country and others, for some reason, the younger you are, the less valuable you are in their eyes. But that's also an irony, isn't it? Because if you follow that logic, okay, so if you are younger, you are less valuable, then the opposite should be true. That the older you are, the more aged you are, the more valuable you should be in society as well. But are the most elderly in this country the most valued and honored? No. So there is yet another irony in this. Many today also do not view life in the womb as worthy of protection anymore. But we need to understand as kingdom people that every child, no matter the age, is worthy of honor in God's sight. They are created by God, but also they were made in the image of God. And for that reason alone, we honor the sacredness of life. Now, how did Jesus respond when he saw that the disciples were rebuking people from keeping children from coming to him? Verse 14 tells us that he was indignant, that meaning a strong displeasure. He was upset. He was not happy that the disciples were keeping children away from him. It upset Jesus to see people treating children as if they did not matter to him. This passage shows us that Jesus values children. Children matter to God. The weak, the vulnerable, they are valuable to God. And in Psalm 127, verse 3, it tells us that children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Now, this is a verse that we read often whenever we do baby dedications. Because the world tells us that children are a burden. They are a bother. But God's word tells us that they are a blessing. And we need to view them as such. The kingdom perspective is to have on children is that they are a gift from God into our communities and into our lives. They matter to God and they are precious in His sight. That is why we honor life from the moment that it is conceived in the womb. Because that life, that child is growing, that is growing in the womb has value. That is also why we care for the orphans of this nation and in other nations. Because they are vulnerable and they were created to be loved. That is why we partner with Women's Hope Center and other crisis pregnancy centers in this country so that we might provide a way, new options for young moms to not choose abortion, but to be able to choose life and a new future for these children. And that is why we also have our orphan care ministry. And one of the things that I wanted to update you guys on is the development of our orphan care ministry, if you guys would like to be a part of it. And with that, we have a new name. Our orphan care and foster care ministry, which will now be a part of it, has a new name, and it is Handle with Care. As a reminder of how every life needs to be treated, how every life needs to be handled with care, love, and honor. And our orphan care ministry, in case you did not know, we care for infants, we care for special needs children, students and children who are in elementary school, junior high, and high school. And the reason why I want to share this is that we do have many volunteers serve in many orphanages, about 5 or 6 different orphanages in this city. Now, we always have a long waiting list of people who want to be a part of our volunteer team that cares for the infant orphanages, right? Because they're cute, they're all cuddly, you like babies, right? So we have a long waiting list for that one. But we have also plenty of opportunities for people to care for the orphans who are a little bit older. Sadly, the older they get, again, once they get out of their traditional cute phases, once they're in the older elementary school, junior high, high school level, those orphanages that we serve in, they are lacking a lot of volunteers at times. And so I want to let you guys be aware of this in case you did not know. Because we are prayerfully asking that you would consider serving and loving these children within these orphanages as well. We provide scholarships for stateless orphans, both in Korea and in Thailand. And we talked a lot about this last year, but in case you did not know, there are over 200,000 stateless children within this country. And what stateless means is that you do not have a citizenship. And if you don't have citizenship, you don't have benefits in terms of education, healthcare, job opportunities, all that stuff like that. And the growing number of statelessness is due primarily to this scenario. About 98% fall into this category. Unfortunately, it is connected to the U.S., my home country, that there will be a U.S. military serviceman who fathers a child with a migrant worker, usually from Southeast Asia in this country. Now, the military man will say, hey, I'm going to go back to the U.S., I'll send for you later. He goes back to the U.S., but then is never heard from again. So this migrant, usually, again, a Southeast Asian mom, has this child. Now, the U.S., though the father was American, obviously the U.S. will not give this child's citizenship without proper paperwork. So he cannot get U.S. citizenship. The country of birth, because they were not born in that country in Southeast Asia, they will not get that citizenship. Also, Korea, because neither parents are of Korean descent, they will not give them Korean citizenship. So they are left very vulnerable. They do not have access to a lot of vital necessities. And so that is another area that we are pressing into to provide new opportunities to care for this group of people as well. Also, as we have been able to be successful in lobbying for new laws for the expat community to adopt while being in this country, we praise God for that new opportunity. Also, a new avenue that we are pursuing right now with the Korean government is for the expat community to also be able to provide foster care. That is a question that many expats have asked about, but the Korean government until this point never even considered it, and we want to provide that opportunity as well. Also, we are praying for greater opportunities to help refugees from certain countries north of this place and provide orphan care opportunities for that category of people as well, and support groups for adoptive families. Now, all of these things, these are valuable avenues of ministering the gospel into this nation to some of the most vulnerable as well. So if you'd like to be a part of it, just email our orphanage ministry, our handle with care ministry, orphanage@onlytheenglish.org, and you get to be a part of caring for the value, beholding the value of the children of this nation. Now, unfortunately, we only realize the value of something many times once it is taken away from us. I have a good friend whose pastor and his pastor's wife recently lost their 8-year-old child. Kate Merrick is the pastor's wife, and she is the mother of her daughter Kate, 8 years old. Just last week, she went to be with the Lord after years of battling cancer. And just recently, Kate's, her mom, wrote this advice on her blog geared towards moms, but I think this is relevant for dads, uncles, aunts, you name it. I think there is wisdom in what she wrote on the blog, and this is what she wrote after grieving, in the midst of grieving the loss of her daughter. She said this to all the moms out there. Love your babies, your husbands, mothers, and sisters. Love each day as if it's your last. All you mamas out there, you have been entrusted with the precious gift of a human life who depends on you. Enjoy your gift. Breathe in the scent of your child's hair. Breathe. Let them cook with you and make a mess in the kitchen. Play hide and seek with them. Build sandcastles with them. Take them on picnics. Read to them. Listen to them. Value and respect them. Never shame them. Your words, they will carry with them their whole life. And you have the power to give them wings or stunt their growth. Motherhood can be tough, yes, but it's worth it. It can be exhausting, boring, tedious, but never for long. You blink and they've grown. You blink and they're gone. It's been my honor and privilege to love Daisy these last 8 years. I'm thankful for every minute, the joyful and the terrible alike. I want to share this because I think there is so much wisdom in the heart of a parent who has lost a loved one, because they're able to see the gift that life is. They're able to see the gift that children are. And those are the eyes of the kingdom of God. We need to behold the value of children. Amen? So that is crucial for us to understand. But not only that, we also learned something else through this passage about children and God's kingdom. And that is that we are also within this kingdom to bless children, bless the children with Jesus. So everyone repeat, bless the children with Jesus. Let's look at verse 14 of Mark chapter 10. It says, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. The greatest thing that we could ever do for a child is to bring them to Jesus, love them like Jesus, show them Jesus. Why? So that they can ultimately be blessed by Jesus. That is the greatest thing we could ever do for a child. Education is important, yes, especially obviously in this culture, right? Education is important, but we educate them so that they will know the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they will know that Jesus loves them. We educate them so they can read, yes, but we educate them so that they could read ultimately the Word of God on their own. So as a result, They might become the best doctors, lawyers, teachers, pastors who understand why they exist. Not to make a lot of money, not to work up the corporate ladder. They will understand why they exist in their vocation, and that is to live their lives to the glory of God's name. That is why they exist. And that is why we have been given opportunities to raise them up in the ways of the Lord so that they might be blessed by Jesus because we desire to bless them with Jesus. You see, the center of all parenting, the center of all teaching in the church is to bless children with Jesus. Jesus says in verse 14, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." So we are to remove obstacles that hinder them from coming to Jesus or that would harm them in any way. Now, what are some obstacles in our day and age that could hinder children from coming to Jesus? There's many, but let me just highlight several. First of all, we need to remove our pride. Our pride can hinder children from coming to know Jesus. You see, for some of us here, we do not value children, nor do we value children's ministry. You are a gifted teacher, but you feel your talents would be wasted teaching children. That is a form of pride that could hinder children from coming to know Jesus. Connected with that is a lack of visionary disciple makers. That can be an obstacle as well. There are a lack of teachers for most of our Sunday school grades and youth ministries. Some of our youth ministries and children's ministries that are going on even now as our service goes on, some grades have one teacher for every 20 or 30 students. And we need people who have a vision for the next generation and who will understand that our role today is to raise up and release kingdom workers in this next generation who will follow Jesus. So I ask that some of you pray about being a visionary disciple maker for this next generation by investing your life and your time here into the younger brothers and sisters of this community. Bless them with Jesus. Another obstacle that can hinder children from coming to Jesus is a lack of deep and accurate theology. What do I mean? You see, shallow theology can keep people from growing in faith. Yes, that's true. But also, shallow and weak theology will keep people from entering the kingdom if it is not accurately according to Scripture. You know, since Enoch has been born for the past little over a year, we've received, I think, 12 or 13 children's Bibles. All right, so we don't need any more children's Bibles, okay? Just let you guys know, okay? We have plenty. Now, I've read through all of them, you know, so, you know, you could, it's very quick, okay? Now, it sounds really cool, right? You could read through a children's Bible and say, hey, I've read through the whole Bible, right? But as I read through them, I was surprised that about 70 to 80% of the children's Bibles that I've seen have incredibly weak theology. I was very shocked by that. I was actually angered by that. I was so upset because I was like, this is not what this passage is about, you know? So I was like, I'm going to write my own children's Bible, right? And there were actually some children's Bibles that did not even mention the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. I'm sorry, that is not a Bible to me, okay? You do not leave out the central crux, the ultimate reason why Scripture exists, and that is to magnify the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I was surprised by that. And I realized that the danger of a lot of these Bibles, the danger of a lot of children's ministries or even curriculum is to turn the Bible into a moral storytelling time. Just be good, be nice. But that's not what the Bible is about. It is about understanding that God alone is God, that He is holy, and that we are sinful. And because we are sinful, we need a Savior. But God did not leave us alone in that dilemma. He provided Jesus to be our Savior. Children can understand this, and they need to be taught this from a young age. Amen? And so we need to love truth and be faithful with God's truth as we teach the next generation. Now connected to that obstacle is our next one, and that is another obstacle that can hinder children from coming to Jesus is when we bore them out of the church. Now, I'm not saying that we need to purely just entertain, but it does take time, thoughts and efforts to be able to teach solid theology in a way that is simple to understand and engaging and creative for the child to learn from. You know, one of the things that when I was in youth ministry in Vancouver, I would preach to our Sunday school, our younger Sunday school brothers and sisters every once in a while, and that's when VeggieTales started coming around. You guys seen VeggieTales? Man, it's like, that was good, right? I mean, I bought it one time, and I was like so engrossed in it. It was like I started my own personal collection, you know? I was like, not without ever telling anybody. So you're the first people I ever told, you know? And I think our teachers enjoyed it far more than the students. But, you know, I got so intrigued by the high quality of the VeggieTales series that I started reading up some interviews on how they produce their films and their videos. And if you're unaware, it's a children's, like, digital animation, you know, story, stuff like that, very well made. And what was really impressive for me is the amount of thought, energy, creativity, and prayer that goes into these episodes. They were like, the creators were like, you know what, we want to create a high quality, something of the best quality that Hollywood can't even compete with, something that's of excellent quality, but also of excellent theology, in such a simple, creative way, so that when children learn and watch from this, they will leave knowing Scripture, at least one truth of Scripture, better. And so I was really blessed by their motives, the mentality, and the philosophy behind this. And I think that's the approach that we have to have in our children's ministry, is that they're valuable. We need to behold the value of children and not just understand that they're valuable. Because they are valuable within God's kingdom, we have an opportunity as a gift and a responsibility within our lives to raise them and to bless them with Jesus, that they might know Jesus and love and know His word. Amen? That is what we are to do. So all the parents out there, teachers, pastors, and children in youth ministry, remember that our aim is to bless them with Jesus, to bring them closer to Him, to surround them with Scripture, to surround them with prayer, and to surround them with a environment of worship and praise of Jesus, to give them the best opportunity possible to encounter the Savior of their souls. So that's important. So we learn that we need to behold the value of children. Also, we need to bless the children with Jesus. But there's a third important thing that we learn in this passage today that connects children and the kingdom of God. And that is that we are to become like children in faith. So everyone repeat, become like children in faith. Let's look at verses 15 and 16 of Mark 10. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So Jesus honors children even further by saying, life in God's kingdom is entered upon receiving the kingdom like a child. Now, one thing to clarify here is that he is not elevating children to be the role model in terms of innocence and humility. Because if you've worked with children, you know that they are not innocent and not very humble, right? But what it is revealing is something significant that we need to learn about children and the kingdom of God. And that is, for children, total trust is the center of a child's existence. Every day, they have nothing to bring and everything to receive. They expect to be cared for. They expect to be nurtured and loved. Right? That is the kind of faith that we are to have. You see, children are content to be dependent on the care, provision, and protection of others. It takes childlike faith to trust that God will take care of me. Right? Matthew 6:33, the verse for this year. Right? To seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, trusting that God will take care of our needs. It takes childlike faith also to receive and to rest in the gift of grace within our lives. Because how do adults receive gifts, especially if those gifts are expensive? Well, most people, I should say, right? How do most adults receive very expensive gifts? First of all, they will say, if it's not your birthday or anything, you know, what is this for? You know, it's not my birthday. Why did you give me such a nice gift, right? We're like, as if we need to deserve it for some reason, Right? There needs to be a reason why I have this. Right? And if it's really expensive, we will respond with, no, I can't receive this. I can't accept this. Right? Or if they take you out to a nice meal, usual response is what? Okay, I owe you one. Next meal is on me, as if we have to pay them back. It is hard for us to simply receive good gifts because we do not think we are worthy of it. But how do children receive gifts? Wow, for me, thanks! And they run away. Right? Doesn't matter if it's their birthday. It doesn't matter. Who cares, right? And that is how we are to receive the gift of God's grace and his kingdom. Christ did it all. Christ paid for it all. And Christ is enough. That is not about my worth or deserving to receive that gracious gift, but with simplicity of faith, total trust, and thanksgiving to receive it and to rest in it and to run away and enjoy it. Verse 16 says something interesting. It says, and he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, the word blessed here, it is the equivalent to this bold italics size 50 font, all right? So he is stressing this word especially here. I mean, it means to bless fervently. Jesus wants to show them not only, hey, you need to his disciples, you need to understand that in my kingdom, I value the vulnerable, I value these children, and your job is to bring them to me. Bring them to Jesus, bless them with him, with his presence, with the knowledge of his love. But also he shows them it is because I love them. And so he is blessing them fervently, it is saying here. Now, this is a touching scene. He not only rebukes the disciples for keeping the children away, he brings them near, takes them into his arms, lays his hands on them, and then blesses them. You see, in Scripture, there are two primary reasons for a laying on of hands, and that is to bring healing, but also to bless. And so ultimately, you could see healing as a blessing. So really, laying on of hands is really a form of blessing someone else. Now, regardless of your theological where you land on the theological spectrum of healing today, that's besides the point. But what this does reveal to us is that there is power in touch. Jesus understands how we are made and how we are wired. And there is a power when we touch someone with love. Amen. And that is what faith is. It is allowing our lives to be touched by the hand of God, by the grace of God, to let God's gracious touch from Jesus heal us, save us, restore us, and we are allowing God to love us. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because God is love, and he loves children, and he loves his children. He loves you. It takes faith to believe that, doesn't it? Because so much of our lives, people will tell us the exact opposite. You need to earn it. You need to deserve it. You got to work for it. But God doesn't say work for it. God says rest in it. It takes faith to believe. It takes faith to receive. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us, in love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he blessed us in the beloved. It takes faith to believe in the blessing of our selection through adoption. And I think that's why in this portion of Ephesians, he is saying that in love, in God's love, he, in his predestined state of planning who his children would be before the creation of time, he predestined us for adoption. And I think there is a reason why he is saying that it is in love he adopted you, because it is in love that he selected you. It is in love that he handpicked you to be His forever. And it takes faith to believe it. It takes faith to rest in that beautiful truth. He chose you because He loves you, and it's because He wants you to know of His love for you and to rest in it. Amen. You know, I had, when I was growing up in high school, I had two baby cousins that I also kind of grew up with in the same city. And this is something I used to do when they were like 2, 3 years old. So I'm looking forward to trying this out on Enoch when he's a little bit older. But what I would do is I would place these baby cousins, like two, three years old, on a table. And I would put there, they'd stand on the table, and I'd take a few steps back. And I'd be like, come on, jump, jump, jump. And they would like look at me, you know, they'd be smiling, they'd be looking at me, and then they'll look down, and they're like, uh-uh, right? They're like, I'm not stupid, right? I may be 2 years old, but I'm not stupid. I'm not jumping the Grand Canyon, because that's what it is in their mind, right? You're asking them to jump the Grand Canyon. They're like, uh-uh, right? I'm not going to commit suicide for your sake, right? And so I take a couple steps closer. I say, come on, jump, jump. And they still look at me, look down, uh-uh. And I get a little bit closer. He's like, I'm going to jump, jump. So finally, they calculate in their two-year-old brains, like, okay, I think maybe I can jump the Grand Canyon, right? And then what do? They close their eyes and they jump into my arms, right? And it felt so good, right? And so I put them back, and then I take a few steps back, and I say, jump. And then they jump again. And then I start from where I originally started. And they jump into my arm. Now, if you guys want to try this, key thing to know, you need to catch them, right? If you do not know that portion, they're going to learn a much different lesson, okay? But it felt so good knowing that they trusted me, because to them, again, they are risking their lives. They're jumping the Grand Canyon. But even though it was scary, even though it was such a scary jump to take, they trusted in me. They trusted in my arms, because to them, my arms represented security. And when I look back upon the time that I would catch them and know that, and what happened, they're laughing in delight. I'm sure out of fear a little bit too, right? But they're laughing and giddy with excitement, because they know now that they can trust me, even for such a scary step of faith to take. And I realize that that is a small taste of the heart of God when we jump and trust that He will catch you, He will hold you, and you will be safe in His embrace. That is faith. That is the faith of a child, but that is the faith that brings us into the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray. Can we pray right now? And first and foremost, I just want to ask, do you trust Him? Do you trust that God loves you? That I know it's scary to trust Him. It's scary to surrender your life fully to Him, but to know that His love is a safe place to be. If you have never surrendered your life into the embrace of God, if you have never surrendered your fears into His arms, I want to encourage you to do so today, knowing that He knows. He already knows. He loves you. And if you'd like to make that step to just surrender your heart, surrender your sins, surrender your fears, simply place your hand over your heart, and your heart is a symbol of your life. Say, God, I want to give you everything. I want to trust you with everything. I want to trust you with my future. I want to trust you with my past. I want to trust you today. Can we do that together as a church? And for all of us here today, His arms are open to receive you. And can we run into His arms? Can we jump into His arms today? Knowing that He will catch you. And He not only wants to catch you, He wants to hold you after you take that step. So let's come to Him today in faith. Let's pray.